listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and God will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows God. You know God because God abides with you, and God will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will live. You will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and will reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So one of the things I inherited from my mom, y'all know my mom. My mom's great, but you probably don't know this. She has the most unbelievable memory of just about anybody. You want my mom on your Trivial Pursuit team. She remembers everything. She's ridiculous like that. She just remembers everything. I remember one time I was with her in the airport before when you could actually like go to the gate with the person and then go back. You know, you didn't need a ticket or anything like that. And I was walking with her, and my mom, well, in the Lutheran world, she was kind of a big deal at one point. You know, she's like met the Pope. She's met the Patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church. She's met the Archbishop of Canterbury. I have a cross that my mom got from, we call him Jack, John Paul II. And she's just, and so she, a lot of people knew my mom. And so we're walking through the airport, and this person goes, "Sue? Sue Gamlin?" And she's like, "Oh, Jack, I've not seen you for 15 years. How's Helen? Last time you had broken your leg. You fell off the roof. You fell off the roof. You drive a Red Beetle. Your social security number is that," you know, it's like, she was like ridiculous, like how she remembers things. And I got this from my mom. I got this from my mom. And there are good sides and bad sides to having a pretty decent memory. One of them was when I was in high school, I didn't have to do much, you know? I could just kind of sit and listen, and I didn't have to really do my homework or my projects, and I could just take a test and do really well. I remember telling my history teacher, "Look, I know you want me to write papers and do projects and things to learn stuff. I've got it. I'm not going to write your papers, and I'm not going to do your little assignments, but I'm going to take every test, and if I get anything less than 100, I will." And she's like, "Oh," and she said, "Okay, for good or for ill, I don't know." She said, "All right." So she let me do it, and I made hundreds on the tests just because I could remember, just because I had a good memory. I could do that. And that serves you really well in high school. Problem is, I went to college, and it doesn't serve you in the same way in college at all. And my first 2 years were a giant mess. I mean, I left after my second semester on academic probation. I didn't know what I was doing. It was a mess. It was a mess. So that year I took off, I kind of got my life together, got myself straight, and I went back to college ready to work hard and to do a better job. And here's what I discovered. This is gonna blow your minds. If you study, you do better. Now, hold on. Let me prove my point. I know you don't believe me. But if you put a little effort in, you'll actually make A's. It was like a revelation to me. I remember taking this like psychology 200 class and, you know, taking notes from the professor and then like actually reviewing the notes before the test and then actually reading the chapter that was assigned and highlighted and actually meeting with other people and going over. I made hundreds suddenly. It's gonna blow your mind. Try studying. It really, really works. But here's the thing. It took me a little while to understand that I actually had to do something. That I couldn't just let it sort of happened to me. Now, I know this seems probably duh to you, but can you remember that time when you just sort of thought life happened to you and that life kind of was just there to walk you along and that you just kind of hoped that things would just sort of come to you and they would activate on you and then you would just do it? In our text today, we have that beginning where Jesus is, this is a part of a much longer text. This is one of the problems of going through the lectionary. Don't get me on about my issues with the lectionary, but like part of it is because we're taking this one little paragraph out of this much bigger, longer conversation. Now, Jesus has just a little bit ago said, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. And when you love one another, I want you to be one. And I want you to be one as God, as the Father, as the mother of us all and I are one. I want you to have that. And when you love one another, then you'll understand. And now it comes to, if you keep my commandments. Do you see what happens if you don't say that part ahead of time? Because it sounds like Jesus is like saying, you better follow the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, I ain't gonna love you, right? That's the problem with a text like this, is when you take this one little chunk out and take it out of everything else. All that aside then to say is that Jesus starts by saying, look, if you do the things I tell you to do, if you actually do them, you're going to see God. You're going to actually, God will become apparent to you. God will become visible to you. But here's the catch. You're going to have to do something. It's like me. You're going to actually have to study if you want A's. If you really want to live and see and experience the love of God, there is actually a part of us that is called to actually do this work. And when we do this work, God suddenly becomes visible. 1 John says it this way, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God, and those who love are born of God. Those who don't love don't know God, because God is. And then the question is, well, what is love? This is, we know love in this way, that God sent the Son to be the atoning sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice makes it sound like we like sacrifice Jesus. No, it's about saying the thing that makes us all right together, the thing that sets us straight so that we're okay, we're copacetic, we're gonna be fine, sends Jesus to be the one that puts away all things between us and God. And then my favorite line, it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us. Isn't that love? Love is when you're loved even when you're unlovable. And I mean you, Steve. I just realized I pointed at you and I didn't, yeah. But love is love when that person's unlovable. Love is not love when you're just only when you're good. Love is love even when you're at your worst. That is what love is. How many of you love a kid, a friend, or a partner, or a spouse, or whomever you're with, even when they're driving you crazy? Right, that's love, right? And so Jesus says, if you want to see God, and at the very end it says, no one has ever seen God, at the end of 1 John, no one has ever seen God, but when we love one another, God's love is made perfect. Do you see how that works? If you want to see God, you're gonna have to love somebody. That God will be invisible to you until you love someone. Until you love them. I love the text today, the Acts text today from Paul. It's my favorite evangelism text. It's my favorite text of why we want to tell people about Jesus and about the love of God. And I love it because it starts with, Paul goes to Athens, and there's this one place called the Areopagus. It just means the Mars Hill. It's this amphitheater. And what happens is different people will come into the middle of the amphitheater, and they'll share their ideas, their philosophy, their concepts, or whatever, and then everybody argues with them. And it's a way, and it's like a tool to help sharpen ideas, and it's meant to be a place of discourse and ideas and things to grow us. It's not meant to be like a shouting echo chamber. It's actually supposed to be good. And so Paul takes Paul's turn, and what the first thing Paul says is, do you know Paul doesn't go in there and say, oh, you bunch of Athens, you heathens and pagans, you're terrible, God hates you, and I'm here to tell you about God. No, the very first thing Paul says is, I see you are a very religious people. He notes that they're already participating in thinking about and wondering about God. And they're already going, huh, what is the spiritual life? How do we live a spirit? How do we live a life worthy of the calling upon each of us? How do we do this? And he says, I notice that you have a god, a statue that says, to an unknown god. Now, the concept was they had statues and temples and places for all the other gods. But what if there's one they don't know about? Right? What if there's like Jeff, god of silverware? And they're like, we didn't know about Jeff, god of silverware. So just in case there's a Jeff, god of silverware, we put a statue that said, in case there's a god we've never heard of, that's your statue. Right? So he says, I noticed that you had a statue that says, to an unknown god. But that which is invisible to you, I want to make visible to you. See, what I love about this is that Paul is coming to the people of Athens not as a place of like power and control and I'm going to teach you all and set you all straight. Paul's saying, look, you're already worshiping the God that I know. You're already there. You don't see it like I do. And let me share with you the story of what God is doing. I sat with a young lady this week who's really struggling with God, who's really struggling with God because the God that she's been told that she believes in really just wants to kill all the bad people and love all the good people, and she can't guarantee she's a good person. So her whole relationship with God is based on fear. It's based on worry. She's obsessed with these ideas, and she's broken. She's like, what about my friends who aren't Christians? Does God hate them? What about my friends who are in other religions? Does God hate them? And I got to sit with her and just say, do you love your friends? Yeah. God is just made visible. Do you desire good for your friends? Yes. Do you love better than God? Are you more forgiving than God? Do you think God could not handle this? Is God that fragile? And she's like, no, exactly. And suddenly, it was like what was invisible to her, this picture of a God who only wants to kill people, was suddenly this picture of a God who loves us despite ourselves, who loves us just like those people that were unlovable in your life and you loved them anyway. That is what God suddenly became to her. And she's like, oh, I've never thought of it that way. And that invisible God became visible. And so I said, the best thing you can do for your friends and anyone else is to do what Jesus commands. And Jesus doesn't command you to go pray for somebody, doesn't command you to go to church, doesn't command for you to feed a hungry person, doesn't command you to do anything. What Jesus commands you to do is love that person so much it breaks your heart that they're hungry. And so you give them something to eat. Do you see that? That you love them so much that they're cold, so you find a jacket and you give them something because you're like, I don't want you to be cold. That you love them that way. That you don't come to church because you owe God something. I mean, we talked about this. It's so funny. Like, she's like, well, I feel like I have to go to church, otherwise God's mad. I'm like, does God even want it at that point? It's like me going to my wife and saying, here's flowers. And she's like, oh, that's so nice. Why? I'm like, because if I don't, you'll kill me. Right? Does that make any sense? Does God want us all here in church going, here, God, we're here. Don't strike us down now. You know? God is desiring us to be here to love us and have us love God back, to actually participate in the love, to be people obsessed with loving the purest love of all the universe, the one that dies and rises for you, not because you're good, but because God loves you, not because you did something right this week. That's not love. That's a paycheck. God loves you because God loves you because God loves you. And God loves you so much, God's willing to die for you and rise for you so that you will be free to love just like God loved you. Do you see how that works? So Jesus says, look, if you want to see God, follow my commands. Do what I tell you to do. Do this work. Love people. Love people. Go and love the world. Go and live out of love and love God. Love the source that comes to you from love. And when you're asking yourself, why should I love? Say, oh my gosh, because that's how much God loved me. That's how I can love the world. And here's what I promise you. When you start to love people that way, when you start to love people in a way that's like, you start being more forgiving, you start being more kind, you start being more patient, you start living out of those things, God's gonna suddenly get a lot more visible to you. And when you do that, You're going to see that spirit of truth that reminds you that you are a child of God. So don't wait for it to happen to you. Don't be like me, waiting to study. Don't sit there and hope that one day somehow I'll see God and I'm going to sit here and do this and wait for God to come. God's asking you, begging you, that when you participate in these things, you're going to see the fruit of these things. That when you love someone else, God will become visible. When you live out of generosity, you will see God coming alive. When you live out of service to the other, God will become more full, more tangible. So what are you waiting for? Follow Jesus' commands. Go love some people this week. Amen? Amen. If you'll pray with me. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, on paths as yet untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out and good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In the name of love, whose name is Jesus. Amen.